Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, May the 25th, 2021. Let us pray.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today. We see around us the fulfillment of every word that you have spoken, and we ask, Lord, that you would continue to give us the strength and preparation necessary, that we might be ready for that which is to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today our subject is going to be The Religious Right and American Freedom. The title again, The Religious Right and American Freedom. Now that title is the title of an article that is found in the Americans United for the Separation of Church and State website that was published back on June 2006. The writer of the article is Rob Boston, B-O-S-T-O-N, and the title of the article again, The Religious Right and American Freedom, Americans United for the Separation of Church and State website, published June 2006. Here's that article. Focus on the family founder James C. Dobson flew into Washington, D.C., last month, with twin goals: attend a meeting of the Secretive Council for National Policy and issue a new round of orders to top Republican leaders. With November elections fast approaching, Dobson is eager to make sure the Republican leadership does all it can to satisfy social conservatives. What the GOP leaders in Congress have done so far, subjecting Supreme Court appointments to a right-wing litmus test, steadily eroding legal abortions, allocating billions in tax money to religious groups, curbing comprehensive sex education in public institutions, intervening in personal end-of-life decisions in the Terry Schiavo case, and laboring to make same-sex marriage unconstitutional, is apparently not enough. Dobson has more items on his wish list. Now, I'm going to go over that list because, as a matter of fact, I'm going to go over the first two paragraphs of that article again. Because here is Rob Boston, and this is, the year is 2006 we're talking about. Okay? And as I said before, the title of the article is The Religious Right and American Freedom. The Religious Right and American Freedom. So let's start at the beginning again and get a picture of all that is being done here. Focus on the family founder, James C. Dobson, flew into Washington, D.C. last month with twin goals. Number one, to attend a meeting of the Secretive Council for National Policy, and number two, issue a new round of orders to top Republican leaders. Now, the next paragraph says this. With November elections fast approaching, Dobson is eager to make sure the Republican leadership does all it can to satisfy social conservatives. What GOP leaders in Congress have done so far. Number one, subjecting Supreme Court appointments to a right-wing litmus test. Number two, steadily eroding legal abortion. Number three, allocating billions in tax money to religious groups. Number four, curbing comprehensive sex education in public institutions. Number five, intervening in personal end-of-life decisions in the Terry Schiavo case. And number six, laboring to make same-sex marriage unconstitutional, is apparently not enough. Dobson has more items on his wish list. In a series of meetings with top Republican leaders, Dobson made it clear that he expects action now. Otherwise, as he remarked on Fox News Channel, Hannity and Combs on May the 1st, I think there's going to be some trouble down the road if they don't get on the ball. The Republican leadership, facing an increasingly unfavorable political outlook, moved quickly to placate Dobson. The New York Times reported that he met with a list of GOP leaders, among them Karl Rove, top aide to President George W. Bush, U.S. Senate Bill Frist, Senate Majority Leader, Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert, and U.S. Representative John Boehner, House Majority Leader. This is the extent of Dobson's power. Religious conservatives enjoy great influence over the federal courts, and their social agenda is being implemented item by item. But it is never enough. Dobson growls, and the top leaders of American politics rush to assure him that all is well. The incident is also a good example of the influence the religious right holds in the Republican Party, and thus the larger political system today. As Dobson's outburst makes clear, religious rights groups have a specific set of goals for American life. They speak openly of taking back America, of asserting control over the lives of every single citizen. They have an agenda, and they want action on it. None of this is a secret. Religious right organizations brag about what they hope to achieve on their websites and in their publications. They hold national meetings and conventions to plot strategy. Their leaders issue marching orders to millions of American followers over radio, television, and the internet. Yet many Americans remain unaware of the scope of the power, money, and aspirations of the religious right, or how radical its goals are. More than 25 years have passed since a hand of conservative strategists convinced the Reverend Jerry Falwell to lead the moral majority, and the movement is today at the apex of its political power. The reign of Bush, the first president truly wedded to the religious rights agenda, has focused new attention on the movement. This special issue of church and state takes a look at the goals of the religious right, its structure, and its major players. Americans United has monitored the religious right since the movement genesis with the rise of Falwell in 1979. Americans United staffers read religious right publications and monitor group websites, radio, and television broadcasts, as well as other media. Americans United staff members also frequently attend religious right gatherings to get an insider view of the movement. This approach gives Americans United a glimpse, a unique perspective that few outsiders can match. The information Americans United has compiled provides a compelling counterpoint to claims of a war on Christians in American society. According to American United analysis, the nation's top 10 religious right groups are hardly persecuted. They rake in nearly $500 million, that's with a B, collectively. Some organizations' budget figures are far from 2,204, and some are from 2005. The collective total is $447 million each. These groups are well organized, well funded, and have specific goals. Republican leaders in Washington are so obsessed with keeping the religious right happy that they have established a values action team. In the House, headed by U.S. Representative Joseph Pitts, and a Senate version headed by U.S. Senator Sam Brownback, they have been moving steadfastly to accomplish their goals. The units serve as special liaisons between Congress and the religious right. Far from being relegated to the back of the public policy bus, religious right lobbyists are often sitting in the driver's seat. The religious right has grown so powerful, it enjoys a veto over many national Republican candidates. Any Republican who aspires to the presidency must first get a blessing from the religious right. A 2002 survey of researchers, John C. Green of the University of Akron, and Kimberly Conger, then a graduate student of Ohio State University, found that the religious right has a strong position in 18 state GOP affiliates and a moderate position in 26, in only 7 states with its influence described as weak. This phenomenon played out most recently with U.S. Senator John McCain and his well-publicized apology to Falwell. In 2000, McCain lashed out at Falwell and others in the religious right, calling them agents of intolerance. McCain, gearing up for another run in 2008, recently met with Falwell privately in his Senate office, where the two mended fences. He put his hand out and said, "I said those words, I was emotional. It was the heat of the moment, I'm sorry," Falwell told Congressional Quality. "I said, no apology necessary, Senator. Let's move on." McCain also agreed to give the commencement address at Falwell's Liberty University. Many religious right figures hold leadership positions in the GOP. For example, Christian Nation advocate David Barton is vice chairman to the Texas Republican Party. Former Christian Coalition head Ralph Reed is currently running for lieutenant governor in Georgia. Gary Bauer, who headed the Family Research Council for 10 years, sought the Republican presidential nomination in the year 2000. Political scholar and former Republican strategist Kevin Phillips, writing in an April the 2nd opinion piece in the Washington Post, was blunt, quote, "Now that the GOP has been transformed by the rise of the South, the trauma of terrorism, and George W. Bush's conviction that God wanted him to be president, a deeper conclusion can be drawn. The Republican Party has become the first religious party in U.S. history." Religious right groups also enjoy great success to the public through the media. Much religious broadcasting also promotes far-right politics. These television and radio broadcasts are omnipresent. In October, Knight Ridder newspaper reported, "The growth in the number of religious stations has been marked. Of 13,838 radio stations in the United States, 2,014 are religious stations, according to Arbitron Inc., the media research company that did the study. That's up from 1,089 stations among 12,840 in 1998, according to Arbitron. Salem Communications Corp., the biggest owner of Christian stations, owns 104 radio stations in the country and syndicates programs to 1,900 affiliates. The story singled out several Christian TV networks as well, among them Pat Robertson Christian Broadcasting Network, Trinity Broadcasting, Inspiration Network, Daystar, Three Angels Broadcasting, World Harvest Television, Cornerstone Television, Praise TV, Worship Channel, Gospel Music Television, The Word Network, and Family.net. If you want to know, you could immerse yourself 24 hours a day in religious programming in nearly every radio market in the country, or with cable television, or with satellite TV, said Quinton Schultz, author of Televangelism in America. Mainline Christianity, which consists of more politically moderate Protestant denominations, has nothing that matches the reach of conservative Christianity over the airways. Religious right groups also have a considerable strategizing and planning network in place that magnifies their influence. Despite some competition among groups for funding and members, this movement and their leaders are savvy enough to see the value of coalition work. The Council for National Policy, for example, is an umbrella organization that brings religious right leaders together for regular war council, where strategy is plotted, information is shared, and candidates are vetted. To this day, no one knows what the group is all about. They just know that they meet constantly. On paper, the Fairfax, Virginia-based CNP does not look like much. Public documents show that its annual budget is less than $1 million. It has a tiny staff and, due to its secretive nature, rarely makes headlines. But the CNP influence has been profound, and it has real clout. Last month, the group met at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Tyson Corner, Virginia, to celebrate its 25th anniversary. Scheduled speakers included U.S. Senator George Allen, widely acknowledged as a leading contender for the Republican presidential nomination in 2008, U.S. Senator Rick Santorum, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff, and U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations John Bolton. Despite this ability to bring in right-wing heavy hitters, few Americans have heard of the CNP. ABC News, in fact, has called the CNP the most powerful conservative group you've never heard of. Another umbrella organization, the Arlington Group, is named for the DC suburb in Virginia, where it meets to plot new ways to oppose gay rights. Founded by leaders from 10 religious right organizations, the Arlington Group now includes more than 50 members. Paul Weyrich of the Free Congress Research and Educational Foundation boasted in 2005 that the coalition has had a dramatic impact on politics. For the first time, virtually all of the social issues and their groups are singing off the same sheet of music. This has never happened before. From the beginning of the pro-life movement through the development of the pro-family movement, everybody did their own thing. But working together, we have helped to re-elect the president and added a number of conservative senators. And I want you to understand that this is a very serious description that is being made here of all of the influence of the religious right. And notice when this article was written, back in the year 2006. And it is quite detailed. Now, if this was happening back then, can you imagine the kind of influence that they have today, constantly and consistently? Let's just read a couple more paragraphs here. Like any other social movement, the religious right goes through regular cycles of growth, and they change sometimes to decline and change. Organizations rise and fall. Leaders come and go. Over the years, some political analysts have made the mistake of assuming that the decline of one religious right organization means the movement is wounded or is slowing down. It's not that simple. The success or failure of the religious right as a whole does not hinge on one or two groups. Any other time, new leaders are jockeying for power and prominence, and that is consistent and continuous. After the moral majority collapsed in 1989, some observers proclaimed the demise of the religious right as a political force. It was not to be. In fact, the 1990s, and especially the years of the Bill Clinton presidency, were periods of incredible growth for the movement. Falwell's organization went into decline in part because more aggressive religious right groups had supplanted him. The Christian Coalition, for example, reached its apex in the mid-90s. Recently, the Christian Coalition has fallen on hard times. The group, founded by TV preacher Robertson in 1990, just 1 year after the moral majority folded, is a shell of its former self. Again, some predicted the demise of the religious right, and again, they were wrong. The spirited religious right activists did not drop out of politics. They migrated to the Family Research Council and focused on the family, televangelist D. James Kennedy's group, and others. Now, this is powerful stuff. And, you know, I haven't even gotten halfway through this article. But I thought I would share this with you today because I want you to understand that this has been something that has been happening undercover for an incredibly long time and will continue to do that. And if you notice carefully that the choices of politics, the choices of senators and congressmen and presidents, they all rest today in 2021, 2022 in the hands of the religious right. You and I need to understand that this is the direction in which this country is heading. And we have been warned about this by God in advance, long, long ago. How ready are we to deal with this? How ready are we to confront that which is yet to come? You and I have been given an opportunity, way in advance, to consider all that God has said and to place ourselves in His hand and ask Him to prepare us for just such a development. Will you do that with me today as we pray? We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have warned us in advance. We thank you for all that you continue to do and how you continue to lead. We ask that you would help us to be prepared for the time to come so that our hearts might be rooted and grounded in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, May the 25th, 2021.